turn to the book of Judges, Judges chapter number 6, Judges chapter number 6, continuing in a message that we have started a week or two last week, and we're going to finish it up this week. Judges chapter number 6, we'll look at verses 36 down through verse number 40. William, what's wrong with that picture right there? You're not on the piano bench playing for the offertory, amen? All right, there we go. Others as well. I know that you can play musical instruments, and so maybe you could play on a Sunday evening when the crowd is a little bit less than normal, and you don't have to worry about whether you just make a little mistake or something, amen? And so nonetheless, Christmas is coming up, Mr. William, so maybe there's a Christmas hymn in there somewhere for you to play for us, amen? Praise the Lord. That sounds wonderful. Well, so far in our study of Gideon's challenge, we have noticed Gideon's faith, and then we talked about Gideon's following. We stopped there for the sake of time. Tonight we're going to see something about Gideon, and that simply is this, Gideon and his fleece. So let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's Word found in Judges chapter number 6. We'll read verses 36 down through verse number 40, and then we'll pray. We'll think on this thought tonight, to fleece or not to fleece, to fleece or not to fleece. Notice what God's word says in Judges chapter 6, beginning in verse number 36. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, and thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of woolen in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth besides, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me. I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. For it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, this last portion of chapter number 6, Father, we surely have learned a lot thinking about Gideon's challenge. We saw his faith, and we saw his following, Lord. And I pray tonight, Father, as we look at Gideon's fleece, Father, we would take a good hard look at this passage of Scripture. And Father, I pray that we'll throw all thoughts of what we thought or what we might have done in the past away, and we'll just let the Holy Spirit of God lead, direct, and teach our hearts this very evening. So, Father, we love you, we thank you, we seek to give you honor and glory through the preaching and teaching of thy word, for it's in Christ's name I pray, amen. And you may be seated this evening. So Gideon previously had displayed a great deal of courage and calling the people to war and gathering together that army. Remember, he blew that shofar and gathered together the nation of Israel. The first time in over 7 years that a war has been declared, and he gathered the people together for that war. And he did display a great amount of courage. And that was the public Gideon we saw. But now we find that Gideon is still filled with doubt in his private life. And in these verses, we'll see the doubt of Gideon that begins to be displayed in private. So let's look at what he did and learn why we need to avoid doing some of the same things that Gideon did. Notice in verse number 36 this evening, notice Gideon's doubt in verse number 36. And notice the Bible said, and Gideon had said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Notice what the key word in this passage of Scripture is. It's found in the second half of verse number 36. It's that word, if. Notice he said, and Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. That's the key word in this verse. It's that word, if. And Gideon had already been told by God previously what he wanted him to do. Look back in your Bible, the same chapter, to verse number 12. Look at verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Jump down to verse 14. And the Lord looketh upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Then jump down to verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, that thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. So here we find that Gideon, at least on three different occasions, had been repeatedly told by God that he was going to be the commander of the army and God would bring them victory. And Gideon is really not content just to trust the Lord and take God at his word. So Gideon decides that he wants a visible proof that it's God's will for him to be able to do that. So in other words, we would say this, that at this point in his life, Gideon does have faith, but it's not a strong faith. And we find here that he's looking for some kind of visible proof that God is going to give them great victory. And he wants to be reassured that this is God's will. So in other words, we find this about Gideon. He's not walking by faith, but yet he's walking by sight. I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 when the Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So Gideon has a little faith at this point, but his faith is not big enough for him to trust God wholly and completely to do what God has asked him to do. You see, Gideon's problem wasn't a lack of knowledge. It was a struggle with faith. It was a struggle with being obedient to God, what God had called him to do. Gideon struggles with the same thing that Christians today are struggling with. Today, you and I struggle with taking God at his word. We struggle at believing. We struggle at trusting. We struggle at obeying his commands and the promises that God has laid out for you and I in his word. And when we struggle with doubt and when we struggle with these disbeliefs in our life, it causes some to ask God for signs to determine the course of their action that God has already previously made clear in their life. Well, we see Gideon's doubt, but then notice in verse 37, we find Gideon's demand. So Gideon comes up with a test really to determine God's will for his life. Notice what verse 37 says. Behold, I'll put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only and be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand as thou hast said. So he takes a piece of sheepskin on the ground and he asks the Lord to make the fleece wet and the ground dry in the morning time. And guess what? God in his mercy, understanding this, that as we think about laying fleeces, that God is still molding and making Gideon to be what God desires him to be. So God in his sovereignty and his graciousness and his mercy answers this request of Gideon. And God does exactly what he asked him to do. Look at verse 38. We'll read that again. And it was so, for he arose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. I don't know about you. I don't imagine what kind of size fleece he had. Probably just some small little square. I don't imagine it was a whole sheepskin. But the Bible says that there was so much dew on it that it brought a whole bowl full of water from that one piece of sheepskin. Well, notice not only the doubt and the demand, but notice in verse 39, we find Gideon's disobedience. As we look at his disobedience, think about this. Something else is needed to satisfy the mind of Gideon. Gideon said, God, if you'll do this, I'll know that's what you would have me to do. And even though he wrung a whole bowl full of water from the fleece, guess what? He still is not convinced. And notice what it says in verse 39. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. God, once again, in his mercy and understanding, he's trying to build up Gideon to be what he would have him to be. He answers this request. Look in verse 40. And Gideon did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece, and there was dew upon the ground. So we see Gideon's doubt. We find Gideon's demand. we see his disobedience by again asking God for one more sign after he told God after the first sign that would be good enough for him to understand that. Notice Gideon's direction. So now we find, apparently, after the second time that God does this miracle with the fleece for Gideon, it satisfies Gideon because never again do we find him questioning God. Of course, I thought about this. It would have been so much easier if he'd just taken God at his word. God already promised them victory. God already said they're going to defeat the Midianites and the children from the east. Think about this. If he would have just obeyed God, he would have arrived at this answer, the same answer from the same decision 2 days earlier. And so we find by his disobedience, asking God to give him a sign with the fleece, he is delayed doing what God wanted him to do for 2 different days. I would say this, that Gideon wasted precious time playing the fleece game. I think of this, oftentimes we do the same thing. It's not that we don't believe God. It's simply this, that we don't want to do what God does. So we want to play a game with God. We want to say, God, okay, if you'll do this and this and this, then I'll really know that's what you'll want me to be. All along, we're just delaying what we know God has already promised for us. Well, number four, notice this, the fallacy of the fleece faith. The fallacy of the fleece faith. I think it's worth noting and taking a few minutes this evening to talk about putting out a fleece just like Gideon did. Let me say from the very beginning, and I make no bones about it, there is no peace in the fleece. I'm going to repeat that. There is no peace in the fleece. I know people do this all the time, and they set themselves up a test really to prove the Lord and really just to give them a little bit more courage to step out by faith. But understand this, in doing that, they dictate the terms and expect God to do exactly what they want him to do. I want you to see that your practice of putting out a fleece is not pleasing to the Lord. Now, I know that God honored this request because he was trying to build up Gideon to be the leader that he wanted him to be. I do understand that. But this fleece laying is not for New Testament Christians today. Notice the first fallacy. Fallacy number one of fleece faith. We understand by putting out a fleece is not a biblical method for determining the will of God for your life. By you putting a fleece out is not a biblical method for you to determine what God's will is for your life. It's a method used by those who lack faith to trust the Lord. That's what Gideon's problem was. God already told him what to do. He said, you're going to have victory. But he lacked the faith to trust the Lord and to do what he already had said that God was going to do. That's the fallacy of laying a fleece, or a fallacy of a fleece faith. A fleece faith is evidence of doubt, not of faith. As a matter of fact, it doubts in the promises of God. So when Gideon laid those fleece out, although God honored his request, it was showing God just how much faith that he did not have. God already promised deliverance to Gideon. God already promised victory to the nation of Israel. The problem with Gideon, he wasn't convinced of the Lord's promises to him. I thought about that. It's really no different today in our lives as well. We today do the same thing as Christians. Concerning the promises in God's word, I cannot tell you how many times I've been told, Pastor, I'm not sure about that. I'm like, listen, this is what God says. His word is true. It's abiding forever, and it's for me, and it's for you. And they say, well, I'm not sure about that. What are they saying? They're saying, I'm lacking the faith as Gideon did, and I want a sign from God, another sign. You know, we have too many promises in God's word for you and I to cling to. They're mentioned, many in there. I think of Psalm 32 in verse number 8. The Bible says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in a way that thou wilt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. So here we have God saying, listen, I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to teach you. And if that's not enough, I'll even guide you, watching over you as you do what I ask you to do. I think about Psalm 34 in verses 23 and verse number 24. The Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And so we understand this fallacy, number one, is terrible if we succumb ourselves to it. Then notice, secondly, fallacy number two of the fleece faith. Another fallacy is seen in Gideon's request for a sign, now get this, that has him dictating terms to God. I said, listen, Gideon's job was only just to obey God, not dictate the terms to God. You know, sometimes we're tempted to dictate terms to God in our frustration and our indecisions and our everyday walk of life. We say something like this: God, if you'll get me out of this mess, I'll never do that again. What are you doing? I know it's a little bit different, but the idea is still the same. You're dictating something to God. You say, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Well, what happens if God doesn't do what you want him to do? Are you still going to do what you know you're already supposed to do? Sometimes we say things like this: God, if you'll financially provide for me at this moment in my life, I promise next Sunday I'm going to start tithing, amen. How many times have I heard that? Pastor, if I just had the money, I would start tithing. Listen, you'll never have the money to start tithing, but once you start tithing, you'll have plenty of money as you honor God. Sometimes we say words like this: God, if you'll heal my, and you can insert the pronoun in there you want, my child, my spouse, my relative, my friend, my neighbor. God, if you'll heal them from this disease, I'll live for you the remainder of my days. Or maybe it goes something like this: God, it's not fair that young grandchild of mine's got cancer. God, take that cancer away from them, and God, give it to me. I take their cancer. I want you to understand and help you this evening that none of us should ever, ever, ever dictate our terms with God. God is a sovereign God. If he desires to heal, he's going to heal. Yes, we should petition him. Yes, we should come boldly before the throne of grace. But we never, ever should request a sign from God by dictating the terms of our fleece laying out. I thought about this. Jesus never dictated his terms with God. Not one time did he dictate his terms with God. I'm reminded of when he was in the Mount of Olives. He even prayed this in Luke 22 and verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. So we find that Jesus never dictated the term. He never said, God, take this away from me. He said, God, if it's your will, take this away from me. And I think that's kind of the attitude that you and I ought to have. Well, fallacy number three of fleece faith is simply this. A third fallacy is seeking a sign from God that doesn't solve our problems anyhow. It's seeking a sign from God that doesn't solve his problems. It doesn't produce certainty of God's direction in our life. I think about Gideon. Gideon asked for a wet fleece, and guess what? He got what he asked for. He asked for a wet fleece, he got a wet fleece. But the problem, guess what, was still there in his mind. He still had doubt because he wonders if it was just a coincidence. So he goes back to God another time and says, God, make everything else wet, make the fleece dry. The fact is, maybe you didn't know this, and I didn't either until I did some studying on wool and this Gideon laying out his fleece, that wool, guess what, attracts dew even when other objects around it remain dry. And so he found no peace in the fleece. So Gideon asked for another sign because he still was uncertain. Here's the truth. People do the same thing today as they did in Gideon's day. Someone may pray and ask the Lord to do something. We sometimes say this: God, can you do this by 6 p.m.? If you do it by 6 p.m., I know that it's you and a sign from you. But guess what? What if the answer comes at 6:05? You say, why would I do that? Because God doesn't operate on our timetable, amen. And if I was God and I was dictating a time frame, I'd make it 6:30. I'd make it 8:30. I'd make it at 4:30. I wouldn't pop it out 6 o'clock. God is on his own timetable, amen. And so if the answer comes at 6:05, I wonder, would we think, did it come from God? Because we prayed for 6, but we got the answer at 6:05. So who did the answer come from? Did it come from Satan? Did it come from our carnal flesh? Or possibly, did the answer come from God? What if the answer comes at 5:59, 1 minute before we asked God and laid our fleece out? I wonder if our thoughts might be something like this. I wonder if Satan's trying to trick me. I asked God for 6 o'clock, and it's only 5:59. And listen, there's still doubt in our life. And there's still, get this, no peace in the fleece. God does guide us because he wants us to know what his perfect will is. I think this message wouldn't be what it needed to be unless we give you some things very quickly. How does God guide his people? How does he guide? If he doesn't guide by a fleece, how does he guide? Well, the Bible tells us exactly how God leads us to know his will for our life. And we're not going to turn there, but you can write these down. They'll be on the screen in front of you. Number one, God guides through his Spirit. He guides through his Spirit. In John 16 and verse 13, the first part of that verse, the Bible says this, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, notice the next part of the verse, he will guide you in all truth. Listen, my friend, one way that God will reveal his perfect will for our lives is simply this. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to us in our life. You say, well, how does he do that? I believe he does it in conjunction with number two, God guides through his word. I think as we read the word of God, the Holy Spirit illuminates. He is our teacher, by the way. He illuminates God's word to our hearts and gives us a great understanding of what God's will is for our life. Psalm 119 in verses 105 says this, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. So we understand that God does guide his people. He doesn't expect us to lay fleece out. He guides us through the Spirit, working in conjunction with the Word of God. But then I think there's a third way that God guides us as well. He guides us through his peace. Colossians 3 and verse 15, the Bible says this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, be ye thankful. You oftentimes say this, I have peace about it. We need to be careful about that, because here's the truth. If you're not being led by the Spirit, being guided through the Word of God as the Holy Spirit illuminates God's words to us, sometimes our carnal flesh, we can have peace about something when it's not really the peace of God. I'll submit to you today, you'll not have peace if you're not in God's Word. God's Word is where he seals and cements that peace inside of our decisions that you and I make. But then notice, fourthly, we find that God guides in another way as well. God guides through the desires that he gives us. I'm reminded of Psalm 37 in verse number 4. The Bible says this, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And so we find this, as your desires line up with God's perfect will, matched up against the Holy Spirit, speaking to our heart as we read God's word, seeking his perfect will for our life, we understand this, that he will give us the desires of our heart. And then fifthly, notice this, God also guides through the counsel of godly men. In Proverbs 11, in verse number 14, the Bible says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So we find that God just gives us numerous ways in which you and I can understand what his perfect will is for our life. But here's the thing. It takes a little bit of work. It takes us to being where we need to be with God. It takes us digging out his will from the scriptures as we read it and understand it. It takes us to have, if we do that in his perfect will, he'll give us the desires of our heart. And lastly, we'll have the counsel of godly men. As other people look at you, They'll say, yes, I believe this is God's will for your life. You exhibit what I think would be to be a great teacher of the Bible. I understand that, and I think that's what you want. Well, as we kind of sum things up, when God does guide us, there always will be agreement. There'll be agreement with the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we'll line up with God's Word. We could stop right there. If we believe that the leadership of the Spirit does not line up with the Word of God, stop! Something is amiss. Something is wrong. Those two will always be in agreement. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the peace of God will combine to give you the desire to do what the Lord is leading you to do. Others around you will see the hand of God upon your life and the decision that you're making for Him. Listen, we don't need to have a fleece to determine God's will for your life. Listen, all you have to do is listen to the Lord. Be obedient to Him. Be willing to step out in faith, even if it staggers your own reasoning. He will speak to you through His Word, by His Spirit, giving you the desires for His will and providing peace about doing it. And my friend, understand this. It's often been true in my own personal life that even though God speaks to me through His Word, even though He speaks to me through the Holy Spirit of God as He teaches me what God's will is for my life, even though I have a desire for His will, understanding this, that oftentimes the peace does not come until you take that first step of faith. Once you take that first step of faith, that's when God's peace oftentimes comes to your heart. Well, forget about the fleece, amen. God honored Gideon's fleece. He's trying to mold him and make him and to be the leader for the nation of Israel. But understand this, forget the fleece. Let's just walk by faith. That's what Gideon should have done. And as we close, even though God honored Gideon's fleece, it's not His will that we should determine the direction of our lives by seeking signs from the Lord. Now, there's a difference between laying a fleece and asking God to open or close doors. And I understand that may or may not be a fine line. But I believe this, that if we pray having been in the Bible, being led by the Holy Spirit of God, feeling God leading us in a certain direction, we're not laying a fleece out if we say, God, if this is not Your will, please close the door. Open a window of opportunity somewhere else. That is not fleece laying. Fleece laying is saying, when God says, this is what I want You to do, and you say, well, God, I'm not so sure about that. I don't know if I really like that. So, if you fix my car by 3 o'clock in the evening, then I'll know it's You. No, that's not God's will for our life. In verse number 39, notice the first part of verse number 39 again in our text, we find that Gideon knew exactly what he was doing was wrong. And the Bible, and Gideon said unto God, let not thy anger be hot against me. Now why would Gideon ask God, don't be mad at me, God, I'm coming to You one more time, if he knew what he was asking was wrong? Listen, he understood that. He knew what he was asking God was wrong, but he still lacked the faith to trust God. We have something Gideon didn't have. We have the completed Word of God in our life. I don't know at this exact moment if the Holy Spirit had came upon him. I believe that the Spirit had come upon him. I don't know. In the Old Testament economy, the Holy Spirit would come upon a person, they would do their work, and the Holy Spirit would leave and come back another day for another work. I don't know if the Holy Spirit of God still was upon him. My guess probably would be no, but that's just Pastor Carroll speaking, not the Bible. I would say no, because he lacked the faith to do what God would have him to do. We're not like Gideon. We have God's completed Word, all 66 books for you and I. We have the Holy Spirit of God that lives and dwells inside of you and I. We don't need to lay a fleece out. We don't need to dictate to God whether this happens or that happens. We have the Holy Spirit. We have His Word to direct us. God's will is that we take His Word, we saturate His Word in our lives with its truth, and then trust Him to take that truth wherever He leads us for His honor and for His glory. I think God gets far more glory from someone who obeys His Word than someone who seeks for a sign, even if they do what God wanted them to do after the sign. I think God honors faith, and God gets more glory by faith. If you remember, Jesus condemned those who had to have a sign. In Matthew 12, in verse 39, Jesus said this, "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas." Oh, Jesus said, listen, we don't need signs anymore. And he said, listen, that's for an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. I don't remind you that there are examples in the scriptures of subjects to the teaching of scripture. I think one of the essential principles for interpreting examples like we just looked at in the scriptures is that we must always distinguish between what did happen and what should have happened. Let me repeat that. We need to always understand what did happen in light of what should have happened. I think lessons that are learned from the historical accounts in the Bible must always agree with other Bible passages. Let me give you an example. You remember in Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 20, we find that the Bible tells us that Abraham lied about his wife and put her literally in danger. And why did he do that? He lied to protect his own life. Obviously, the Bible is not teaching that it's okay for us to lie and put our family members in danger if we can save ourselves. The rest of the scriptures are very clear that's not what the teaching is. And I think the story of Gideon and the fleece is an account of what did happen, but not necessarily what should have happened. We need to look at the context of the total chapter to see whether Gideon's actions indicated a strong, mature faith or a weak, immature faith. And I believe as we look at that, we would have to say that Gideon's faith was weak and it was immature. We need to ask ourselves this question. Does the overall context of the account teach us that we should follow the actions of the character in the account? So as we look at Gideon's life in the account of that, should we look at him and say, "Ah, I'm going to emulate fleece laying because he was weak and he wasn't strong in faith. He was immature in his faith." No, we're not going to do that. Or does the teaching with the rest of the Bible line up with the teaching that we're gleaning from Gideon's life? Let me illustrate it to you this way. There was a traveler in the early days of the West and came to the Mississippi River. He discovered there was no bridge at that time across the Mississippi River. Fortunately for him, it was wintertime and the river was covered over with ice. But the traveler was afraid to trust himself, not knowing just how thick the ice was. So finally, with infinite caution, he crept on his hands and knees and made it halfway across the ice. As he crawled across the ice with just himself and his pack, he began to hear some noise. He turned around. He heard singing that was coming from behind him. He cautiously looked up, and there, out of the dusk and out off the edge of the ice, came another traveler driving a four-horse load of coal across the ice, singing a hymn as he went across. You know, as we would think about that, Gideon and each one of us are just like that weary traveler. We're afraid to take the step of faith and obediently serve the Lord. You ever stop to think for just a few moments that what could be accomplished for the glory of God here at Sharon Baptist Church if every believer did what God has asked him to do? There'll be more power and glory in this church. There'll be more souls saved. There'll be more miraculous manifestations of God's presence and power in this world. Far more will be accomplished than we could ever think or imagine if God's people would just take him at his word and step out in faith. We'd see big victories for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me close with this. Where does this message find you tonight? Are you faithfully doing what the Lord has called you to do? Or are you guilty of looking for signs instead of taking God at his word? Let me remind you, there is no peace in fleece. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this account of Gideon. Father, we're thankful that Gideon did have faith, but he had small faith. And I believe, Father, before we look such downward thoughts on Gideon, Father, his faith was a growing faith. And Father, I pray, Lord, for you and I that are here today, these people, Father, in Sharon Baptist Church, that, Lord, we'd have a growing faith. Father, help us to be faithfully do what the Lord has called us to do. Help us to not to be guilty of looking for a sign instead of just obediently taking God at his word. Father, we know there is no peace in the fleece. So, Father, our peace comes as we search your word, as the Holy Spirit of God illuminates the scriptures to our hearts. Father, as we get confirmation from godly men and women, Father, we can be confident and say, this is God's will as he brings the desires of our heart to align with his. So, Father, I pray you'll be with your people this evening, Father. Help us, Father, to stop the fleece throwing. Father, no doubt all of us at some point in our Christian life have been guilty of throwing fleeces. Help us to be obedient. Help us to live by faith. And God, just trusting you. For we ask and pray these things in Christ's name we pray. Let's stand.